Welcome to the live service from Family Worship Center. This service is also being broadcast live on Sun Life Radio, online worldwide at sunlifetv.com, and on the free SBN Now app. We'll have praise and worship from the Family Worship Center singers and musicians, a time for prayer, and the anointed preaching from God's Word. Now let's go live to the Family Worship Center sanctuary as the service begins.
Amen. Exodus chapter 3, reading just two verses tonight, starting in verse 13. The Bible says, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent you. Some of you didn't know it tonight, but the problem, just as with the children of Israel that you face, that is at hand tonight, and many of us are facing needs, but you didn't know it, God did. It was just an opportunity that's come your way to introduce you to his name. And that's what I want to preach to you tonight, the title of my message as we end this camp. Tell me his name again. Tell me his name. Those watching, those here tonight, tell me his name again. I've come here tonight to tell you his name. He's the great I am. Amen. Let's pray tonight. Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you that the trials of life, Father, they are just guiding us closer to you, that we might get to know who you are. And Lord, I ask for the Comforter to come tonight as I minister your word. Give me direction and leading, Father, guide my thoughts. Lord, let your people be edified and built up. And when we leave this place, Lord God, let us not leave as we came in. Lord, let the true teacher and preacher come, the one who makes teaching and preaching easy, O God. And I ask for that anointing of the Holy Spirit that I've asked you for all week long. Lord, let it come. And Lord, as we leave tonight, let us be blessed. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Moses was sent on a journey to deliver God's people, as many of you, as all of you should know, as all of us know, but not without a fight. They wouldn't come out, and Moses was told this by God. He said, no, I don't think that he'll let you go, speaking of Pharaoh. No, not without a fight, not but by a mighty hand. And that was true, and that's true of all of us. But there's a storyline in the book of Exodus that we can follow, and there's a truth, there's a theme that we can find in every child of God's life, and it's this: you cannot live for God in Egypt. You cannot live for God in the world. There's a pattern in the text. We have the story of Exodus, the Exodus story taking up the first, I guess you could say, nine chapters of Exodus, and starting in chapter 3, that is, and going through chapter 12. And then we have God give his law to his people. The last portion of Exodus deals with the tabernacle. Amen. And all of that, as we look at an overview of the text, it is just reminding us that God was taking them out of their old way of living. He was extracting them from the world, and he had given them a new path for living. He was giving them his law, and he was giving them his tabernacle. And it's as wonderful as deliverance is. We all have experienced salvation, amen, prayerfully. Most of us here tonight, and if you haven't, it's a good night to find Jesus. But we've experienced his delivering power, but that's just the beginning, really. And you can see the worth of what living for God really means in this book, because deliverance is one thing. He spends nine chapters dealing with the salvation story of his people, but then he devotes about 20 chapters to living for God. Coming out of Egypt, being delivered, is one thing, but remaining where we ought to be and learning how to live for God is quite another. Nevertheless, we cannot live for God in Egypt. We cannot live for Him in the world. As a teenager, I learned that the hard way. Speaking to those of you listening here tonight who are younger, I remember the day I came home from church, and little by little, I developed relationships I should not have. The world crept in. I found myself enjoying worldly music, and I remember the day I came home from church and the Holy Spirit said, "Joseph, I know what's on your iTunes. We need to get the junk out of our ears." And He separated me from that music, the music of the world. If I hadn't, I don't know where I'd be today. And I mean that. Because there's a power in the world's music. And why do I mention music? Because just as it was in Egypt, the whole force of the world, the spirit of the world, permeates the world's music. And I know we all like to, we talk about some of these popular songs and we sing them with jest, but you know, the world comes out with a movie recently, Bohemian Rhapsody, and everybody flocks. But you know, that just kind of funny, that song, it embodies the message of the world. And you know, there's two things that stand out to me in that song. And it's number one, it says this, "Beelzebub has a devil set aside for me. Get rid of the junk." There's another line in that song, and it says, "As if nothing really matters." That's the world's message. Nothing really matters. Live the way you want to live. The first point in this text, as we read in Exodus, no matter the child of God, where you are tonight, is number one, despite the efforts of Pharaoh, despite the efforts of the world system, despite demonic attack on your life, number one, God preserves His people. He does. And some of you have dipped into the world, but God, and I remember when I did, but God, His divine hand, His sovereign hand, in the midst of my mess, He was there all the while. He was there preserving me when I didn't deserve it. He was there watching over me. You're His child tonight, and you feel like you're not going to make it. It's His sovereign hand that's holding you up. You may not know it, but He's with you in the fire. I was where I shouldn't have been. I was doing something I shouldn't have done. Tell you how God preserves you. And in a flash, the next moment, I heard two of my friends in the vehicle scream at the top of their lungs. I was where I shouldn't have been. I was doing something I shouldn't have done. And if I could have the pictures tonight, I wish I could show you my vehicle. The engine at the front of my car was caved in to the middle of the car. It had been totaled. And if 1 second that car had hit me, 1 second later, I wouldn't be here tonight. I was where I shouldn't have been. I was doing what I shouldn't have done. But God, and I'll steal this from Brother Dale, who preached this a few months ago here at the church, and I hadn't forgot it. When Satan had a plot, God had a plan. What the devil meant for evil, God has a way of turning it around for your good. I came to camp meeting that year. It wasn't but a few months later. I stood right here, and Brother Andrew Leo from South Africa, God bless his heart, a man of the Spirit, he came up to me and he said, "Joseph, have you been having a hard time lately?" He said, "The last year or so," he said, "have you been having trouble? Has something been going on I don't know about?" And I said, well, and I knew what he was talking about. But he didn't know. He said, "Because about a year ago, I was at home and the Holy Spirit said, start praying for Joseph.
He said, I've prayed for you every day since he told me. When Satan had a plot, some of you don't realize it tonight. Just, you know, you're crying out for deliverance, God help me, but it's a miracle you're here. It's a miracle you've made it this far, but you didn't recognize that the one who came against you, he wasn't coming against you, he was coming against your God. And in the midst of your mess, just like when Pharaoh in chapter 1 of this text, he had issued, really there were four, scholars recognize four oppressions against the children of Israel. Four distinct ones. Every one of them in crescendo increased in rigor and hard bondage. First of all, he saw the blessing of God. He saw the favor of God on God's people. And he said, nuh-uh. If they grow more mighty than we, they'll destroy us. God blessed you. God saved you. He started to increase you, and somebody didn't like it. Hello? And he says, I've got to stop it. So he starts to come against the children of Israel, and he does, first of all, by appointing taskmasters. He sets them up, but the Bible goes on to just say, but yet the children of God increased. Now, God allowed it, but yet the children of God increased. He allowed the trial to come. The problem came your way. You're wondering why it's there, but yet God caused his people to increase. And when these taskmasters, when Pharaoh sat back and wondered how in the world am I, then he increased the bondage. He increased the labor. And you know the story. He took away their straw and they had to go find it and they had to make the same amount, but they didn't have what they had before and it was worse. It was harder. And yet the people of God still increased. Come on, somebody. Thirdly, he says, okay, that's not working. So he issues an edict and says to the midwives, okay, when the Hebrew women are come to give birth, he said, if it's a boy child, you're to what? You're to kill it, take it and kill it. But when Satan had a plot, God had already set women in the nation who feared him. Hallelujah. That'll preach tonight. And I'm gonna say this to those listening. I understand that life's been hard on you, some of you young ladies, and you find yourself with a child in your belly. But let me tell you something, that you would be better off giving birth to that child and letting it live than to take its life. You don't know if there's another Moses in your womb. You don't know if there's a deliverer in your womb. You don't know if there's somebody God's called in your womb. And there were midwives, they ignored the edict, and yet, what's the Bible say? They increased. And the mother of Moses was no different. For 3 months, she tried to hide the boy, you know the story. When she couldn't, she took him to the brink of the river. No doubt, her body cold all over. She had to lay him in a basket, commit him to the torrential, raging waves of the Nile. And I'm sure she prayed, wondering if God had a plan in the midst of Satan's plot. And boy, did he. Because it wasn't too much longer down the road, or down the river, rather. Miriam wanders down and watches that basket float. And where does it land? Right in the lap of Pharaoh's daughter, whose heart had also been softened toward the Hebrew people. She should have taken that baby and what? Destroyed it. But she looked around and said, what? Is anybody of the Hebrew women, is anybody able to nurse this child? And Miriam, the sister of Moses, was there to speak up and say, I know somebody. And the Bible says, come on now, the Bible says that she brought that baby boy back to the mother who owned it. And not only that, she was paid wages by Pharaoh to do it. I got something to tell you tonight. If you'll just hold on, not only will Satan be upset he came your way, but he's gonna have to pay for it. He's going to be the less for it for coming against the church, for coming against the child of God. He's actually going to be depleted for coming against you. He's going to lose something. And he'll probably think a little harder before he comes and does it again. Would he have ever thought, not only did he let one slip, but he's paying somebody out of his own pocket to raise the one who would destroy his kingdom. That's what God does. That's my God. When Satan had a plot, God had a plan. Not only did he preserve his people, he preserved the messenger. Are you here tonight? And I'm coming to the end. He preserved the messenger. Thought it was all over, and Moses fails the Lord. The messenger. His first act of ministry service is to slay, murder an Egyptian. You know what's true about Moses, though? He had to learn something. He had to learn that God was not going to use his position in the world to deliver. See, Moses had it in his mind that he could stay where he was. He could use his power, his name, his position, his title in order to fulfill the call of God on his life. But the whole theme of this book, Book of Exodus, is God can't leave us in the world. And he cannot, through the flesh, we cannot ever fulfill the call of God. And so for 40 years, Moses flees to the land of Midian. 40 years. I don't know how God did it, but the Bible tells us he was the meekest man in the earth. Perhaps those 40 years of waiting worked that into his heart. The failure, the thought that I'm a nobody, that God's through with me. But God not only preserves his people, as he's done tonight, as he's doing all around this world, but he's preserved the messenger as well. And though the failure, though the problems, lo and behold, on the backside of the desert, as he is leading the sheep of his father Jethro, he sees a bush in the distance burning, but it's not consumed. He sees a bush burning, but it's not consumed. And as we come to our text, not only does God preserve his people, he preserves the messenger, but just as God would deal with his people, he first of all deals with the messenger. And the first thing he comes in contact with is the holy God of Israel. A God of separation. A God of holiness. That bush, and if you just think about it in the natural, it was strange. It was weird. How could you find a bush that is burning but's not consumed? And that's true about all of us, really, when we came to the faith, or really before we did, the world, how the world looks at holy living. It's strange. We're oddities. We're weirdos. Oh, we are. We're weirdos. I mean, have you ever seen 30,000 rednecks jumping and running in an arena, and they're as drunk as Cooter Brown, and they've lost their mind, and their faces is redder than a baboon's butt, and I mean, we're the weird ones. And where did you come from? Where did you go? We're weird. So I'm sorry. I understand. I understand. I guess I get a little bit of why you might think we're weird. But forgive me for a moment if when I hear the name of Jesus, I get a little bit excited. That might be weird to you. You might not understand it all. That bush burning but not being consumed might be strange, but don't knock it until you try it. I said, don't knock it until you try it. Because while the world is raging and we're suffering in this world together, we'll be the ones standing when the trials of life come. That holiness of God might be strange to you, but I'm gonna be there when the trial's over, because the house that's built on the rock is going to stand. That's the first thing Moses found. The bush was burning, but it was weird. And you know, I know you all face the young people. Listen, it's strange to you why we dance. It's strange to you why we shout. It's weird. I remember I was 10, 11 years old. I remember the first time I jumped in church. It was strange. It was weird. I know, because I was the bashful little kid who grew up in church. I can't do that. I'm too cool. I'm on the basketball team. I'm too cool to do that. But you know when it was? We were in the middle of a camp meeting right here. Brother Robin Hurd came out on the stage that night. He began to sing a song. A day, maybe two, then goodbye. Tomorrow we'll rise up and fly. This world's not my home. I sang it wrong. What's the words? This place where I roam cannot be my home. I'm bound for that land in the sky. A day, maybe two, then goodbye. Tomorrow I'll rise up and fly. Heaven is near. I can't stay here. Goodbye, world, goodbye. It might be weird, but don't knock it till you try it. He got to the chorus of that song, and he started to run, and he started to move. And you know, you ever seen Mario Kart? You ever played Mario Kart? Some of you Nintendo? Well, sometimes when you get that TNT, you know, it gets attracted to one of the carts, they just start kind of moving here and there and running all over. And that's something I've sung with Robin for about 15 years on this stage. And you know when the Holy Ghost hits Robin, because he starts coming over here, and then he comes over here, and then he moves over here, because he doesn't know what's about to happen with that TNT. And that night he started to holler, and I mean he yelled like a Norwegian sailor. And he got up here and he said, a day maybe two, and he said, don't you weep for me when I'm gone, because I won't have to leave here alone. And I'm 11, I'm 10 years old, I'm standing right over there on the front row with my mother. And when he got to the part, he said, and when I hear that last trumpet sound, he said, my feet, they won't stay on the ground. And I saw my feet not stay on the ground. Look, don't knock it until you try it. It might look strange. We might talk a little funny, but you might be right in the presence of the Holy God. You might not like the way we play our music, but it might be holy. Don't knock it till you try it. And my feet couldn't stay on the ground. Might be strange, but I got to preach my message. He meets with the holy power of God. Speaking of separation, what he's going to do in his people, he first does in the messenger. Are you here? What he's going to do in his people, he first does in the minister. He separates us. He meets with the holy God. But then one thing floods Moses' mind. Singers and musicians can come back. What will they say? I've got to stand before Pharaoh. I've got to deliver a message of deliverance to the mightiest monarch in the world. And it wasn't the first thing he thought of. It was the people. It was the ones like you and I who had sat in bondage for so long. It was a spirit of doubt and unbelief that flooded Moses' mind. And in his heart, he's wondering, what do I say to them? How do I tell them, listen, that it's time to come out? You're not here tonight. How do I let you know, child of God, that it's time to come out of Egypt? What do I tell them? Who do I say sent me? What do I say to the people of God? God, they've been there for 40 odd years. They've been there even longer. They've gotten used to the way things smell. They've gotten used to the way things look. They've thought life's going to be like this forever. Who do I say? What do I tell them? And God told Moses, you tell those backslidden children of mine that the I am that I am has sent you. And some of you are wondering, well, what does that mean? God was telling Moses. God was telling Moses, make sure, because that's what Moses was wondering. Well, they're going to just attribute you, God, as one of their other gods of Egypt. See, those were gods of their own making. We still do that today. They were gods of their own making, but Moses was told by God, make sure when you speak to my people that they know I'm not like the gods that they've made with their own hands. I'm not like the gods of Egypt. I am that I am. And what this means is I'm the absolute being who has never changed. Someone tonight needs to know in the midst of your bondage, he's the absolute being who has never changed. And this is true too. It was both an old name and a new name. How was it old? Because it lined up with the same way he revealed himself to their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Are you here tonight? He said, I am the God of Abraham. What he's done for them, he'll do for you tonight. What he's done for them, he'll do for you. But it was also new. Why was it new? Because what he was telling them is, whatever situation you find yourself in right now, I'm going to introduce you to my name. Because what's your problem? The problem is, I'm not saying it well. The situation that you find yourself in right now, that you say has no solution, that you say has no solving, no solvent to it, it's found in his name. That's the sense in, or that's the way in which his name is both old and new. Because the problem you face tonight is just an opportunity for him to reveal that he's the I am that I am. That he was with you when you thought Pharaoh was going to destroy you, but he was present and he provided a way out. Before you even went into the fire, he had already devised a plan around Satan's plot. Amen? And whatever it is you're facing right now, it's in his name. You don't know it. You don't see it. But that's just like the children of Israel. Moses wondered, will they believe it when I tell them? Now he said, if that doesn't work, you take these three signs. He threw the rod on the ground and became a snake. He took it by the tail and it was a rod again. He put his hand in his bosom, it became leprous. He put it back in his bosom, and it was made clean, made new. He said, if they don't believe you for that, take the water out, pour it on the ground, it will become blood. But it's better, Jesus said, a wicked and perverse generation seeks after a sign. If they don't believe you for this, I'll work a miracle. Some of you are wondering why I don't see as many miracles as I used to. Well, God works miracles sometimes to get you out of a spirit of doubt and unbelief. Once he's done it, he doesn't have to. It's better that you get to know his name. It's better that you get to know who he is rather than constantly looking for what he does. Seek me for who I am, not just for what I can do for you. I said, seek me for who I am, not just what I can do for you. I am that I am is calling on you tonight. And he's wanting you to know that whatever the problem is, stand to your feet. The solution for it is in his name. He's the God who stays. He's the God who stays. You're the one who runs in my direction. When the whole world walks away, you're the God who stands with wide open arms, and you tell me nothing I have ever done can separate my heart from the God who stays. Just as they play softly tonight, I don't know what the problem is, but I've just come here to encourage you, to let you know that whatever you're facing, He already saw it before it came your way. And He created a plan to bring you out. And that plan was to introduce you. I said it was to introduce you to Himself. Your solution is in Jesus tonight. Your solution is in His name. Get to know Him tonight. These altars are open. As we leave this camp, whatever that problem is you're facing, you don't have a solution for, there's a solution in the great I am that I am for you tonight. And why don't you come as we sing it? My sin won't separate my path, separate my guilt. Yes, I'm yours forever. Sin can't separate my scars. Can't separate my failures. Can't separate. I'm yours forever.
No enemy.
No enemy can separate. No power in hell can take away your love.
You down as you leave this place, and I can't get this song out of my spirit since Thursday night,
but I give you glory, glory. I give you glory, glory. I give you glory,
glory.
He's here to meet your need,
Jesus.
He's gonna meet that need, so give Him some glory.
Give you glory, glory.
Set me free.
That saved me.
Oh, that saved me.
Hallelujah.
just a moment there.
Well, he
set me free.
I give him glory.
I give you glory, glory. I give you glory, glory. I give you glory, glory. Jesus.
Come on, let's do it right now. Let's give him glory.
I give you glory, glory. I give you glory, glory. I give you glory, glory. Jesus.
One more time, that saved me.
That saved me.
Come on, did he save you? Just a moment there.
Set me free.
One more time.
That saved me and rescued me. Just a moment there. Set me free. I give you glory, glory.
Come on, just give it glory tonight. Just one more time, let me hear you. Ah, what a conference and what a way to close out Family Camp. I have to say that was the most memorable message I think I've ever heard. But I'm thankful for that. I want you to go out shouting and rejoicing, believing that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as I mentioned at the beginning of this service, that when you leave here rejoicing. Leave here with a boldness to declare who Jesus is and what he's done to your community. Can you do that? Can you do that? Turn around, tell your neighbor you love them. We'll see you next year, July, for Family Camp.
Well, it's the city where the Lamb is alive. It's that city where God is alive. I'm a mansion over there, free from toil and care. And I'm going where the Lamb is alive. Oh, that twilight, jala, jala, bring its gloom.
We hope you were blessed by this message. This podcast is made possible by the generous support of people like you. To contribute to this work, please visit www.jsm.org or call 1-800-288-8350.